Show him a sandwich. That's a nice intro right there, right?
You want me to say something? You want me to jump in here?
A mouthful of sandwich that Bill Cox brought me.
Oh, that's nice,
Bill. Bill, thank you.
And we just learned something about
mostly,
Bill.
Got to thank my wife, Melissa, because she was the one who reminded me.
Gifts like this,
yes.
Make sure that your message is carried far and wide.
That's the way to do it.
Very simple. I'm a very simple man. I'm a very, very simple man. A lot of people haven't figured that out.
You should just know that in general.
A little bit goes a long way. And a snub gets you excommunicated. We got a full packed house. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9 of us today. It's a beautiful, beautiful July day. Not too hot. It's going to get hot this afternoon, right? July 16th. And where did the summer go, right?
Yeah, well, it's been pretty cold, too.
Yeah, it's crazy. Crazy weather. We're going to go around the room. You got to introduce yourselves and your affiliation.
Okay. Deanna Fay. I'm helping out the Phyllis-A with a lobster bake event that we're going to talk about.
Wayne Berger, same thing, helping out the Phyllis-A with the lobster bake.
Wait, aren't you guys together?
No, we look like
friends.
We're together, but we're not.
Oh, you're just friends?
Yeah.
We're neighbors and friends.
Oh, I always thought you were married.
Oh, God, no.
Yeah, we are. We love each other dearly, but we're not
his
married to each
really
other.
His wife would be really upset about that.
Yeah.
Oh, you have
maybe,
a different.
I don't know.
You have a different husband?
Yeah, I do.
And I have a different wife.
You know my husband? Tall guy.
Oh, that's right. Nice guy. Yeah.
Yeah, and my wife's the runner.
Oh, that's right. Yeah, it's all.
Now who's sticking his foot in his mouth?
It's that sandwich that Bill brought.
Yeah, what was on that sandwich, Bill?
I think I'm going to have to tease you mercilessly about that.
It's laced with THC, the sandwich.
Whoa.
The sandwich that
well,
he
is
brought.
George, it's right near that smoke shop.
Yes. Cross contamination.
I'm not married to either one of them. Greg Verga, I'm here. My affiliation today is my web radio show, Unfinished Music.
Which is featured on More Sports Online, right?
Yeah, msonewsports.com.
That's where you can find it.
Yes.
Unfinished Music. All right.
Doug Parsons, I'm the president of the Phyllis-A Marine Association.
Gloria Parsons, I'm the treasurer of the Phyllis-A Marine Association.
And we are married.
You are married.
For now, anyway.
And your 400-year descendants of...
Roughly,
the founding Gloucester fathers.
Gloria, they wear many hats, though. Very involved with the Middle Street Walk.
Yes.
Yeah.
And Girl Scouts.
And she was Liv's Girl Scout teacher.
Way back in the day?
Way back.
Oh, yeah.
Still.
Yeah. Been doing it for 40 years. 41 years.
Now, Girl Scouts, there was a big, this is a topic that would be interesting to me. There was a big hubbub about this girl that wanted to be part of the Boy Scouts.
Yeah,
how do you, isn't that kind of crazy?
That
kinda
always
crazy?
Happens.
Yeah, well, vice versa. Every 5 years or so,
some
controversy pops up like this.
Yeah.
A Girl Scout wants to be a Boy Scout wants to be a Girl Scout.
But you can.
Yes.
Girls can
That's
be part of the Boy Scout Explorers.
Right.
Which is an adventure type of Boy Scouts. And I bring that up, because my wife was a Boy Scout.
Okay.
With the Explorers.
Yeah.
My
not,
wife.
Not me, but boys
can not her. It's
not
my real wife.
Yeah.
Not
boys cannot be
Girl
Scouts.
Oh. Girl Scout Explorers?
We have a congressional charter that says they cannot.
It was an episode of the Brady Bunch, you recall.
Yeah.
Yes. Peter.
Sunflower Girls, right?
Oh, Marcia.
I'm Bill Cox. I'm secretary of the Phyllis-A. We're here again talking about the lobster bake today and other stuff.
Catherine Ryan. Good morning, Gloucester.
Good morning, Ryan. It's been a good work for us.
Yeah. Good morning, Gloucester. It's Kim Smith.
All
should
right.
We wish, so before we forget, should we wish happy birthday?
Happy birthday to Bill Cox.
Yeah.
How many days old is it?
38,000? Something. It's a
lot.
It's a lot. I mean, yeah, we'll save people the math. He's 18,628 days old today.
That's quite a few days.
Right. Why are we talking about days
blowers?
Old?
Because
your
grandson's
the
piping blower.
Yes.
Yeah.
The only way we record things around here is in days.
As opposed to 6 days for baby Charlotte.
Baby Charlotte.
and 24 days for baby piping plover.
Exactly.
It's a good thing, Kim, that you remember how many days Charlotte is, because I know you know how many days the piping plover is. You would really catch some heat.
I'd really be in trouble.
You would catch some heat. Because that's how you, that's how, when we're going over the show notes, that's what you gave me. You gave me 6 days for baby Charlotte.
Charlotte, and I think I said that first, before the piping plover.
You did. I noticed that, Kim. Yes, you're sticking up for me.
Who
appropriately went, responsible grandmother.
Who went to the block parties last night?
We all did.
Wow, a lot of people went.
No, Greg didn't.
I didn't.
Greg didn't go. Okay, Deanna, give me a quick synopsis.
It was packed.
Yeah.
It was great. There were so many people and a lot of, I don't know, like new street vendors, I think. I think there were a few street, newer from
newer
previous
acts,
years.
Yeah.
Yeah, it was great. The restaurants looked like they were packed.
Well, there was less
time.
Restaurants doing it now, right? I think there was only three on the list.
I don't know. Everyone that I was talking to was going out to eat and having, you know, long waits to get in. So maybe they weren't out in the streets, but the restaurants inside were packed.
Yeah.
So that was good to see.
Yeah.
You know.
I love it. Did you guys have fun? Where did you guys have? Did you have dinner down there or did you just walk around?
We had a table selling tickets for the Lobster Bake.
Oh, that's right. Yeah, because the nonprofit, the Phyllis A. nonprofit, mm-hmm. right? And did you guys do anything?
We were doing that, and we went to Topside for dinner and then bounced around a little bit.
Topside already has the seating outside, so
yeah,
that's not an issue for them.
Great.
Kat? Short and Main was serving outside.
Yep. And
jalapenos, Short and Main, and there was one other
Italiano.
One. Italiano.
Yeah.
In their parking lot.
In their parking lot, which
I wish they could do that all the time.
I know. It seemed very nice. Yeah.
Put some flower boxes.
Well, that would take away from the parking that for the people that are going to live upstairs in those units, right?
Oh, yeah.
So I don't know how they would feel about
it. I mean, based on the earlier conversation, I'm not sure that they should actually be there. Because were they born here like Doug and the Parsons? Yes. There's only certain people that are allowed across the bridge.
It's true.
Yeah, so I never go the other way across the bridge.
Right.
His roots are too deep here.
In the Shire. We really don't have. There's no. We have Stop and Shop. We really don't need to go past Stop and Shop.
I never go past Lee's. I would go for weeks at a time. I never go past Lee's.
It doesn't make you a bad person. I'll tell you that. I'm the same way. I don't. I didn't go to the block party last night. Kate and I had a pact that we were gonna. It's been go all summer, with all these different activities, and we just said we're gonna have a chill day at the house. But I heard, that's nice to hear that the block parties were great.
Yeah, we went last night and we were celebrating Liv's birthday, so we went to the Franklin for dinner, and that was packed, and dinner was fabulous, and I kind of forgot it was a block party, so we were like dressed to the nines for her birthday, and we did feel a little goofy walking around in high heels at the block
party. Anything goes at the block
party. We were really dressed up.
Oh,
like,
wow.
Just for fun. You know what I mean? For fun. And it was.
Because you're going to the Franklin.
Yeah. And
upscale joint.
And it was, her birthday. And so.
So
that
was really wonderful, though.
It was really happy.
Doug has the hardest time figuring out where things are, so he goes back to.
Oh, what it used to be back in the day?
Douglas Pharmacy.
Yeah. I think Franklin is at the TikTok, honey.
Jeez. No. The antique store is at... Yeah, Franklin's at the TikTok.
It used
the
to
antique
be,
store is at Nick...
Busy
B? The pool.
Nick's
Pool Parlor.
Nick's Pool Parlor is where Main Street Art and Antiques is.
Right.
Yeah, okay. So, do you ever go to Cafe Beaujolais? Because that was it.
Yeah, what was it?
Where is it? King George's.
It's right next to Sugar Magnolias.
Oh, okay. That was the drugstore.
That was Douglas Pharmacy.
Okay. Oh boy. So this week, back to this century.
Can I say one more thing about the block party?
Yeah, I'd love to hear.
So I think the chamber was in full force, like staffing it. They all had different shirts on and different stations, but I can see the influence of the Schooner Adventure, president of the association, because someone had made, replica boats that they were walking in of all of our schooners.
Oh,
which I
wow.
thought was really sweet. And
well,
they were handing out flyers for free sales for community members, for kids 12 and under.
They do that at other events, tacos.
Boats.
Yeah, the little boats, the art. They have little mini Ardells.
Right, free tickets for 12 and under on the, like, Ardell and the Lannan and
yeah.
the Adventure. And
I'll
the,
send you, I'll send it in for the
wow.
link. I thought it was really sweet. But
fantastic.
It just, I don't know, there was a very positive energy. Everybody
mm-hmm.
was having fun. It was good music. There was a young kid, maybe he wasn't so young, but he looked really young to me, that was an excellent band right out front of Cecilia. And
the block parties are always, they're one of my favorite, and totally different vibe than the Fiesta. I love the Fiesta, but
yeah,
the tradition and everything,
was.
But I love the family vibe and the homecoming vibe of the block parties. Speaking of, it's funny because, so on Facebook, because, you know, that's where we get our news nowadays is Facebook, this
real
past
or
week,
fake.
Is, and I literally had a conversation with Kate about, it was 4th of July weekend, and I literally had a conversation with Kate the morning before I read this, and I says, I wonder when, we should have a pool over when it's going to be the first person to say, this is the worst I've ever seen traffic in Gloucester, because every single year, because if you exponentially did the math on every single year saying it's the worst and the worst and the worst, we would like,
It would be tomorrow.
Right. Yeah. Because you know how, like, you know, you add you start on the checkerboard and you have the penny and then you put two pennies on the next one. And by the end of the checkerboard, it's like this ridiculous amount. And sure enough,
so what happened?
So my sister was in on this too. Like, we really have to do something. That, you know, the traffic is out of control. And these are really nice people and everything. I feel like it's like you have not driven. You can't possibly have a job where you have to go up and down 128, or you haven't been been in Boston traffic to go over the Tobin, or God forbid the South Shore, because you really have no concept of what traffic
really is.
Because we have 8 weeks, because June really, until Fiesta,
right.
It really isn't even that busy here. Until all the kids get out of school
and
on the weekends.
And it's really July 4th, really.
It's really July 4th, and it's seven or eight weekends of traffic that is still manageable traffic in relation to what other working people do on a daily basis.
That's right.
Like, instead of taking you 7 minutes to get downtown, it might take you 25 minutes.
Yeah.
And it really isn't the end of the world for the trade-off of these people coming into town
and spending money
and supporting our businesses. So it's funny because the absolute inverse, my good friends like David Cox that own businesses and Eric Lorden at Passports, every single early spring, late winter, early spring, it's, I've never seen it this bad on Main Street. Like, as if all of Main Street is going out of business. It's the same. I swear it's the same people saying the same. Never seen it so bad. So every year it's getting worse and worse and worse and worse and worse. We're all going to die. But it's just, it's funny that to hear these things. I think we should do a pool next year. And,
see.
17 years ago, I moved from the D.C. metropolitan area. I had a commute that was 17 miles long, and I had to allow an hour.
Wow.
17 miles.
Yeah.
It was ridiculous. I moved to Essex, and moved to Essex in the middle of the summer, and neighbors were apologizing for the traffic, that it would get better, you know, once the tourist season ends, the traffic would calm down. The most I ever saw at the stop sign in Essex was 7 cars. It was horrible. It was just, I had to figure out the back roads to get around, because I just couldn't stand sitting through 7 cars at the post office.
That's
so
horrible.
Yes, I think we're blessed in many, many, many ways around here, and the lack of traffic, even as bad as it is on some occasions, we're quite blessed.
Yeah, I also just want to bring one other thing out about parking. You know, people say about the parking, but, you know, can't exist on Main Street because there's no parking, right? There has not been a block party or the Fiesta
where you couldn't find a
place. Where, like, up off of Middle Street,
yeah.
or down on Roger Street that I couldn't find a parking spot. There hasn't been one. And the fact of the matter is, when you go to the mall, if you went to the closest store just inside of the doors of the mall from the very closest parking spot to that store, it's more of a walk than if you parked on Roger Street or Middle Street.
That's true.
But people are willing to drive to the mall
because there's parking.
Because it's parking. Yeah.
But speaking of parking, the thing that fascinates me is the clever designs that people come up with for parking in the dirt lot. I know there's a more official C something or other.
I4C2. Yeah.
Yeah.
I4C3.
Otherwise known as Lenny Linquata's personal parking lot.
Right. But because there's no lines, there's no indicators as to how you're supposed to park there. I mean, sometimes the rows go one direction. You come into and they go the opposite direction, and it's just fascinating the way that some people think and manage to park.
Do you think it's the first
park other people in and just
you got to get down Rocky Neck sometime at the railways on a Saturday night?
Yeah, that's another fascinating.
Oh yeah.
I think that's so nice that the railways lets people park there. I think it's amazing.
It's not necessarily just let. It's kind of like sublet.
I think it's
helps finance in the place, maybe.
But I mean, even if you have the lines, I mean, if you've seen St. Peter's on the weekend, St. Peter's Square, I mean, Lord knows how much money you could be making on tagging cars down there.
Yeah.
There's almost at least a half dozen cars parked.
So you mean those different colored bricks are the lines?
No, that's not a parking lot. It's a park.
Officially.
It is officially a park. Because we had asked about, when I was on the council, not me, I didn't want to do it, but put in meters, and you can't. And like one with the kiosks came in, it's because it's a park, it's not a parking lot. So every time we get out of the mall, I says, oh, we can't park here because of the brake. No, this is, you can park wherever you can, as long as there's flow. It's, so those are just merely suggestions.
Merely suggestions.
Oh, that's interesting.
Merely suggestions.
You know what's so funny to me about that parking lot is...
It's a park.
It's congestion. The park. The park.
St. Peter's Park.
Is that literally every new business that wants to go in that area claims that as their parking.
Yeah.
So there's like, you know, so you know how you said, which is fine, you know, I still think people can find parking spots, but they, you know, like, there's parking constraints. No, there's no parking constraints because there's parking right here, you know.
But everybody's saying that.
Yeah, you have 5,000, you know, units or whatever all claiming that this is their parking. Anyway, let's get down to official. I just want to announce, I'm really, a shout out to my friends, Heath Ellis, Doug and Bobby Ryan, Paul Gigoloni, and the people every year that call in, and we sell out in days on our cigar and rum cruise on the Thomas Lennon. Once again, it's sold out. It's Thursday night, and I like to give them props because they donate a lot of time to make that happen.
And they're awesome. And it's the best thing. It's
they are
fun.
Fantastic. And Greg was here first, so we're going to get to him first. Unfinished Music First Anniversary Concert to benefit Open Doors, August 27th. Greg, tell me more about this.
Okay, so I was here, about this time last year, maybe to talk about the show. And so our first show was June 14th, 2016, and our guest was Dan King. And on June 14th of this year, Dan King was our guest again. He brought Dave Maddox. So that first season, we had 19 shows, and I was talking to Rick Moore of MSONewsSports.com about what we should do to celebrate the anniversary. And so the idea came up, why don't we have a concert off-site, because they're not going to all fit in my basement. And so Dan's involved at the Mile Marker with the booking band, so he helped us get this the space, the big tent, not where the band's playing the weekend. So we've got, of the 19 who were on the show last year, we've got 11 committed to do the show for this live show, which is August 27th from 4 to 9 at the Mile Marker. And it's only $10 each. What? Only? Yes, only $10 to see 11 acts. And there still may be a few more by showtime. And you can get the tickets at Brown Paper Tickets. So if you go to unfinishedmusic.bpt.me, you can get your tickets for $10 plus like a dollar something fee. And I wouldn't wait till the show to get your tickets. It's not. We had my class reunion there last year, and it rained like hell, but we didn't really notice because we were under the tent.
You're under the tent.
So a lot of people like hold off on their summer outdoor events because they don't want to get rained out. Don't bother holding off because it's not going to be a factor.
Non-factor.
So, but if I can, I'll just get on the list of who's
playing.
This is not any particular order. Brian King, Satch Kern's band. Sasquatch, Paul Sasquatch Cohen is back in business. He'll be with us. Pierre Ave, which I think might be the band you said you saw outside of Cafe Cecilia last night.
Oh.
Pratik Potter, John Jerome Band, Inga Berg, Stolen Lions, Alto and Small, Dan King, of course, and then my band, Black Sheep Stampede, will be playing.
Fantastic. Is it going to be booze?
Yeah, so they'll have the bar there. So that's how it works out. This is to benefit the Open Door, so it's considered a non-profit event. There's no charge to us for the space, and the biomarker's going to have the bar, and if you want food, you can just go next door and get stuff. So it's going to be a great time. 4 to 9 on a Sunday, you know, what else are we going to be? Going to be sitting home watching Three Stooges reruns?
Four to nine, perfect timing.
I'm looking forward
to it. For us old folk.
Well, yeah, that's funny, because whenever my band plays, you know, usually you start late if you're playing out at a club, and most of the people I know don't want to go out at 11 o'clock to see a band. So here you can at least get a couple hours in before your 7 o'clock bedtime.
Yes.
You know? And you can DVR the Three Stooges.
And you can DVR the Three Stooges.
Did you bring my team?
It's a win all the way around. It's a win. I love it. Yeah. And we should stress, this is to benefit Open Door, which is one of our favorite benefits.
Right. And if people are interested in the show, all these shows we've had are available for on-demand listening. We go live once or twice a month at like 3 o'clock on a Wednesday, but within 24 hours it's available for on-demand listening. So if they go to the Facebook page, just look for Unfinished Music. You can find links to all the shows as well as some videos and things like that. And then certainly I'll give a plug for my band. Go to the Black Sheep Stampede page or blacksheepstampede.com. We've got some new music out and some coming out in the next few days.
Very cool. I got links in the show notes so people can check all that out. Unfinished Music first anniversary concert to benefit the Open Door, August 27th, 4 to 9. Thanks for coming in.
Thank you.
We have the folks we have a lot of folks from Phyllis A organization here. And you guys are going to do a lobster bake. Is this the first year for this lobster bake?
Yes, it is. Yeah, it's the first one, and we hope it to be an annual event. So,
where's it going
to
be?
It's going to be down at the railways, the Rocky Neck Railways. Right, you know, go past the studio and just keep going until you hit the ocean.
August 5th.
The harbor.
August 5th, 11:30 to 2:30. And people can... Oh, 1 pound lobster or a half barbecue chicken with 8 ounces New England clam chowder and native corn. Grilled hot dog and chips are available also. $40 a person. Also featuring Ipswich Ale, the Tapmobile, will be on site.
So you don't even have to ask the question, will there be booze? Yes, there's the Ipswich tap truck there with their flagship ale, IPA in the summer. And then they're also selling wine and soda.
Mill River Winery Wines, Mercury Brewing Sodas, and Ipswich Ale Craft Beers.
Yeah. And that's cash only, actually, so that's good. We need to point that out.
Yeah. Shanty, my favorite, the Shanty Singers will be there. My favorite.
One member of the Shanty,
Three sheets.
We have one sheet.
We'll be there.
Right. Well, it's an early event. It's 11:30 to 2:30, so you can't be three sheets to the wind.
It doesn't work.
Just one sheet. I will point out that especially at that time, it's early in the day, 11:30 to 2:30, so it's more like a lunch, and that's because we're blessed here in Gloucester. A lot of stuff going on. The Sidewalk Bazaar. I think there's some other things. So wanted to get people over, support the Philosay and what we're doing to restore that historic boat for Gloucester. Yeah, so we just need to keep in mind that this is the first annual. We're just trying to find a time that works into the busy schedule, summer schedule here in Gloucester, and get people over there to support the restoration of the Philosay. The oldest boat, surviving boat out of the Gloucester Harbor, is my understanding, 1925.
The Arnold family. They used to offload fish here.
Yeah.
Oh, really?
The Richie and his brother, you would never find more gentlemen in the fishing business as the Arnold brothers.
They're
the sweetest, the greatest guys. just, I'm telling you, like salt of the earth people. Did they come from Michigan? Were they part of the Michigan Bears?
The, yeah, father was one of the Michigan Bears that came in 1910, yeah, from Charlevoix.
Yeah.
He was the leader of the group.
Yeah. Oh, yeah?
Mm. Arnold's, Teisters.
Oh, so many. There were 20 of them.
20. Yeah, with the first five. I can never remember.
Hubbard.
Teisford Place. Oh, gosh.
Who's Bill Hubbard? Who's his ancestors?
Dahlmers,
yeah.
They were a mess of them.
Yeah.
And then when it worked, a whole bunch more.
Yeah.
And they were gillnetters.
Yeah.
They brought
the whole industry.
Yeah.
From the Great Lakes. They had a supplier from Gloucester, Net and Twine, and he said, "Why don't you come?" Because the fish was depleted in the lakes. He said, "Why don't you come to Gloucester?" So they decided. They got in their five little boats and they brought them all the way to Gloucester from the lakes.
Mm.
And they were here about 6 months, made $12 a week, said it's a success. So they 12 bucks a week. So they wired home, and the rest of them put their boats on the railway.
Railroad.
And brought it down that way.
Oh, wow.
Oh, wow. So how did the original five get here if they didn't come on the railway? How did
they came all the way through the waterways, yeah.
Erie Canal down the Hudson
River.
River.
Okay.
Yeah.
Imagine that.
14-day trip?
Something like that.
Yeah.
You know what's really cool? So this organization, they also have great events. And these events, just because the Phyllis A is over at the East Gloucester Marine Railways, they highlight that space, whereas, you know, it might be intimidating to other people and to go behind the doors, but these events that they have
open the doors
and people get to actually experience working waterfront stuff. There's also, you guys are going to be doing the art show, right?
Yeah, 2 days this year.
Which is nice because the artists, to go and set up and everything else for one day, it's kind of a commitment, but
to
2 days,
you
might be able to sell some product.
Right. Yeah, the 1 day worked so well last year, our first time.
Yeah.
So, and they love setting up in the
industrial
shop.
It was really cool.
So, Joey, I want to get back to the lobster bake, if we can.
Yeah, of course.
I was talking about the history and the Phyllis A working here in Gloucester and things like that. We walked in the parade on July 3rd, and I was blown away. I had probably 10 to 12 guys that I was passing stuff out, and they're like, "I worked on that boat. I spent more time in that pilot house than things." And it was great to see that. So I personally want to reach out to those guys that if they're listening, if you work on the Phyllis A, we want to see you on August 5th. Come on over, share stories and things like that.
Great.
And then the other one is, you're talking about the rebel is being intimidating. It's a great opportunity along with the art sale for people to come over and experience the railways and walk around, because it's just fascinating what happens over there, to pull those large boats up on the railway and just...
I love the engine room. When I was there, I hadn't seen that before. I've been over the railways a bunch of times, but I never... Well, for the art show last year, they had the thing in the engine room where the big gears. The gears are bigger than me.
Mm-hmm. The original.
The original gears, yeah.
Well, it's the original setup for the South Track right there. Shot of the steam engines, which weren't taken out until 1970, but
they did it back to like the Civil War, didn't they?
Yeah.
Well, as I tell people, you tell them it was built in the 1860s or during the Civil War, it doesn't seem to make an impression. So now I've changed it and say Lincoln was president when it was built.
Yeah.
And sometimes that makes a bigger impression.
Yeah, yeah.
But that's roughly when it was.
That's amazing.
And Gloucester and Railways has been a great sponsor of the Phyllis A. They've been wonderful to us.
Viking?
All these years, yeah. The whole board.
Yeah.
And tell us, who else are some of the sponsors for the lobster bake?
We don't have any particular sponsors this year because Passports.
Passports is helping.
They're catering. The tap truck from...
So Ipswich Ale, I just want to reach out and thank those guys. So, yeah, Ipswich, just want to shout out to them and they're helping us out. They're waiving all their setup fees because we're a non-profit, and then they're splitting the proceeds with us 50-50. Ooh. So, just come down, help us out. buy several beers, glasses of wine, sodas, things like that. Remember, cash only on that, but not included in the ticket price. But I just want to shout out to them. They're very generous, really.
That is generous of them.
Yeah.
Very nice.
And then you had somebody in mind, right?
Yes. Well, I'm just gonna go back and give a shout out to Passports, because Eric, you know, gave us a really great arrangement, and we're hoping that he'll be doing this with us every year. And so he's got a great menu of lobster, or a choice of barbecue chicken, some clam chowder, native corn, watermelon.
Do you know he has? He bought one of Smoke and Jim's smokers.
Yes, and he's going to be. I'm pretty sure he's bringing that to,
I'm sure, yeah,
the chicken.
I'm fairly certain. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Wow, that's great.
Yeah. And I understand he's buying the lobsters from some local place here.
Captain Joe's.
So.
Captain Joe's. What's
sure,
up?
So
you know that
to,
they're fresh.
Shout out to Captain Joe's. And we also want to give a shout out to Walt Kalenda from K-Band Auctions at 82 Main Street, who is selling tickets for us.
So you can get tickets there?
People can just walk in there and get tickets at Walt's shop, or they can buy them online at phyllis-a.org. So it's phyllis-a.org. Or they can call 978-283-9292 and get tickets over the phone with Gloria, right? So we're hoping to sell lots of tickets. They're on sale now. And the tickets will help us get a head count. So if people can commit to buying a ticket now, that would be great.
Yeah, especially with lobsters. You don't want to buy way too many.
Right, right.
Yeah, because that would suck.
And the place you're going to be eating out on that new dock that's sitting out in the harbor, which gives you an incredible, in a different view
right.
of the harbor. From
where's
the
new dock, Doug?
It's off the
harbor side.
North end, yeah, it's off the north end of the tin building. It's where the office and the old copper shop used to be till it fell in about 10 years ago.
Oh wow!
Yeah, new dock.
It's beautiful, big.
It's overlooking the harbor. Mm-hmm. Yeah, spectacular place to have a lunch.
Yeah. I remember when I was a kid. Like, I was an adolescent kid. There's a trap door.
Yeah.
And you go up inside there, in the top floor, they all Playboy magazines there.
Oh, yeah.
When I was 11 years old, I mean, it was hundreds of them. Hundreds of them. I'm like hundreds of them. Yeah, so like as a 12-year-old kid, it was quite a thrill.
Paradise.
It was very scary at the same time because, like, you know, you're this little kid, like 12, 13 years old.
And
you're
2-foot-wide stairs going up.
Right. But, like, you're also, like, so, like, if these fishermen catch us, like, breaking in. We're good, like, no one's there. It's the weekend, right? And, like, going up through this trap door. It's like something out of a horror movie.
Oh, that's so funny.
You know what I mean? To look at these Playboy magazines when you're coming of age. There's something out of, like, what's that? Yeah. What's the movie where he calls the shot? The Goonies. No, not the Goonies.
I would say Goonies.
Huh? Sandlot, yeah, like that kind of, that age, you know, that kind of crazy, crazy age.
I'm glad you survived, Joe. I'm just glad you survived.
Yeah, I mean, it was pretty wild to think of, yeah.
No, just so I was also thinking, because something that Greg had mentioned, we do have indoor contingencies too, so the weather's not going to be a factor.
Right.
And it is on August 5th, so, I mean, there is a lot going on that day, but you should be able to fit us right on into the schedule that day.
I love
day.
It.
Lunch in the rough.
Lunch in the rough.
And the Phyllis A will be on full display, so people can get a...
And get
take the water shuttle over, take a water shuttle over right to the studio.
The water shuttle is one of the best takes in the city.
Right, take it back, go to the Sidewalk Bazaar, what a spectacular day in Boston.
So beautiful, that's
then
excellent.
Then go to the Country Music Fest up at the Stagecoat Park in the afternoon.
Oh my goodness.
Wow. A lot going on. All right. Well, there you go. The date is August 5th, 11:30 to 2:30. You can buy tickets, and I have a link here, www.phyllis-a.org, or go down and see Walt Kalenda at, what's the address?
82 Main Street.
Catherine Ryan.
Yes.
I want to talk to you right now about the trap. Someone died.
No, someone pulled a false alarm.
Catherine, you did a post yesterday after all the talk and all the talk about carry in, carry out, and everything else. And I figured you did not have some kind of information.
It's officially a trial run.
There's trash barrels. Can you describe?
There are two big plastic bins next to the three public paths. At Good Harbor.
And they have
not the pedestrian bins.
Are they like toter bins, like the kind of ones with the flip up lids?
Yes, and they just cut out a hole in the top.
So that the seagulls won't try not to get in there?
Yes.
We hope.
That's the idea?
Yeah. And they're just
it's a trial run.
And
it's
so
a trial.
The two,
so a both and
yeah,
approach
that's
right
great.
Now.
So are the two for is one recycling and one garbage, or is it separated in any
it
way?
It is, but
okay.
Which one is for the dog
I
poop?
I saw 2 days in a row when I looked inside.
Oh, okay.
So.
Which one is for the dog poop? The one on the left or the right?
Both.
Right, is that recyclable or is that
and
just
I
trash?
Hope it was
Black Earth compost.
they're not going to take that.
It's a joke. Jesus. Kim Smith. I'm naive Kim Smith. They're not going to take that, Joey. Silly.
So we're shortening the distance that they need to carry out. They don't need to take it all the way to the car and then home.
There's a multi-pronged approach right now, but on the whole, I'm there so much, very, very early in the morning, and I can't believe how clean it is. And there still is stuff that's trash and some days that are horrible, but I do think the DPW does awesome.
The DPW.
Of course they do, yeah.
Yeah, it's not the DPW, because as soon as they show up on the scene, it gets cleaned up. Mm-hmm. So it's not the
If you showed up at 10 o'clock in the morning...
Yeah.
You wouldn't know that there
you
was.
You would not know a thing.
You would not,
you would
know,
not
a
know a
thing.
Thing.
Yeah.
So my time there is 5 a.m. and it can be a disaster there. Lately, it's been relatively clean because there hasn't been anybody on the beach.
Because it's been crappy
because,
weather.
Because it's been crappy weather. So you get to the beach and you think, "Wow, look how beautiful it is. There's not very much garbage here." And then you go, "Oh yeah." It was bad weather yesterday.
Yeah.
That's why there's.
It's worse on the pedestrian routes too.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm mostly coming in from the other hotel and from the parking lot side.
The private side.
Right. The private side and the parking lot, and both of, you know, unless it's
as
a
opposed
open
to the footbridge
trash
side.
Bed.
As opposed to
yeah.
the footbridge side.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. I don't know. It's funny. Like it'll. I think like a lot when they have the kids have the parties there at night. It doesn't matter what time if you have the barrels there because those kids are drinking. They're not collecting their bottles to bring them to
yeah.
the. Well, I had a short conversation with Greg about this before the podcast started. You know, you come to realize that there are, you could put trash barrels every 10 feet, and there are certain kind of scumbag people.
Right.
They're still going to bury.
The
diapers or the cigarette butts.
Right.
You know?
Well, Walt Disney did a study because, you know, he has his big theme parks, and he did a study to find out how often before even the cleanest person would drop a piece of paper, and it was 10 feet. So if you go to Disney World, you will see a trash barrel every 10 feet.
Really?
Mm-hmm, because he doesn't want to pay people to clean up. This was back when he was developing his theme parks. So every 10 feet is about how far people will go. So... Check it
really?
Out.
That's
yeah.
that? That's interesting.
Yeah.
But there are some people it's got to be 10 inches, so they're
mm-hmm.
not going to do it.
Yeah. Yeah. No, absolutely.
But the average
but they're carrying
in. The average. There's some that will go 11.
But once it's used,
it's right.
the same
right.
container.
Right.
They won't carry
they
it
won't,
out.
Right.
It'll be actually less.
Yeah.
Craziness.
Sure,
okay. It's funny that they, you know, they go to Long Beach. They won't take their trash, but they'll take 3 or 4 rocks from... From Pebble Beach.
From Pebble Beach.
They'll walk across to get 3.
Oh.
And then they'll carry those home.
They'll carry those home for their walkway or something.
Yeah,
yeah.
But they won't.
Yeah.
They won't carry their trash.
Sons of bitches. So it's interesting. It'll be interesting. Are you going to
keep
us posted on...
I'll keep that.
I want unfiltered, you know, does this work or not? Based on your observations. I don't want, like... You already have a preconceived notion of what you want, if you want it to work or not.
No,
unfiltered, this is working or this isn't working or this is what we could do better.
Well, we don't know what's going to happen right away at the footbridge end because they've already started construction for their landing pad there,
mm-hmm.
their guest pad or whatever they're calling it. So Catherine and I were just talking about it and we're just praying that they don't build something high to obstruct the view. You know, that would not be a good thing there.
I can't imagine.
I don't know what, because they already put this gross, somebody already put this gross sunscreen dispenser and they just hammered it right into the footbridge. So now you have this plastic dispenser with goopy sunscreen coming out everywhere. So you can have free sunscreen. And then the sunscreen gets everywhere and then it has like Walmart
know, messaging the on bacteria it. That must be yeah. on that handle.
Yeah.
It must be. Oh my God, I'm just cringing thinking
of it. On the other side of the bridge, there is an antibacterial. Yeah.
Have you seen the porta potty downstairs,
Actually, it's not that bad, that
porta potty. No, it's not bad. It gets emptied regularly.
So I'm praying that once they get their little landing pad design, they unscrew that thing that's there, that yellow thing.
So, speaking of Good Harbor Beach, plover update. Let's have it.
Let's see. This morning, well, Catherine came and relieved me this morning at 6:30. I got there at 5, and they, it's day 24, and they're doing this really beautiful little sort of run and hop and go airborne for about 6 inches and then plop down. So this morning, the mom came into the little enclosure area, or they both kind of met in the enclosure area, and I think she kind of instructed him to practice his flying because he hadn't been practicing his flying at all, and then suddenly she's, you know, chirping at him and piping at him, and he does this little, you know, cute little fly thing. So we're still having a tremendous problem with DOGSs down there. While Catherine and I were there, three dogs were on the beach, and I spoke to one person who now the thought is his dog is a service dog, and he was giving his service dog lots and lots of leeway on the leash so he could chase
trample the
plover, and the dog was actually chasing the plover, and the guy was encouraging him to chase the plover.
Oh my God.
So I'm standing between the baby and the dog situation, and when I went up and spoke to him, he was very nasty and said his dog was a service dog. And I said, well, even service dogs, I don't believe, are allowed where there are threatened, federally threatened or endangered species. I said I was going to call the police, but that, you know, honestly, they can't, the dog officer doesn't come between 5 and 8 in the morning. And then we had more dogs join us on the beach. So it was a very doggy morning this morning. So there you go. So we have to find
out.
Also,
it was interesting what you wrote yesterday about the plovers having this little new technique that you discovered where they flatten out.
Yeah, it's beautiful to see because it's a great form of defense where when, and they see the seagulls swooping in before we do. They are running around in the sand, suddenly they'll completely flatten in the sand, and then suddenly we'll see a seagull swoosh overhead, right over them, like inches above them. And so it's really wonderful to see that kind of self-defense mechanism kick in, I think. So, yeah, so the volunteers are doing a tremendous job. I mean, there's somebody there covering the plovers from 5 in the morning until sundown.
Wow.
So, I mean, that's
What do the plovers do in the middle of the night?
Well, plovers are still somewhat active at night.
So they're not into that enclosure?
Remarkably so, this doesn't always happen. This particular family is actually continuing to use the enclosure.
Mm-hmm.
They use it as a safety zone. They run in there and...
They figured it out.
So, which is...
Are you in contact with the people on Cranes Beach and Coffins Beach?
Coffins Beach,
do you talk to those people? Do you kind of compare notes at all?
Well, I know that on Cranes Beach, I think from my understanding is that they've had a complete failure on Cranes Beach. So what's interesting, where I'm... The other family that I'm filming on Coffins Beach, on the backside of Coffins Beach, looks directly over to Cranes Beach, the very tail end of Cranes Beach, where all the plovers are. The plovers are primarily nesting out there. So I think they go back and forth easily over the mouth of the Essex River, and I see them flying over in that direction and coming from that direction all the time. So,
Jim, I may be wrong, but isn't there a big enclosure at Nahant Beach as well?
Yeah. Yes, there's Nahant, Revere Beach. I mean, they're...
Plum Island too, right?
Yep, Plum Island. Plum Island, they just close all the beaches down on Plum Island.
I want to read this to you. This is really sad. This Oh, this is Revere Beach Reservation.
Revere Beach.
Do you know?
I think I saw
it. Yeah,
I heard
this?
About that. The seagulls ate the babies right away.
So just hatched, piping plover getting its first look at the world. Shortly after, it was eaten by gulls. Gulls were hanging out next to this fence because people won't stop feeding from them their beach food.
Right, and it's also, or leaving their garbage behind. It's either, you know, they associate, and also...
That's so sad.
I know, it's so sad. It's not just the gulls, it's crows as well.
Yeah.
It's crows as well. No,
the crows
so
are proliferated. We talk about them all
right,
the time.
Crows and gulls have proliferated the whole area. I mean, I told you this, prior to the 1940s, there were no gulls that were here all year round. And the only reason why they're here is because of the vast amounts of landfills and stuff like that. And then when they closed all the landfills...
Wait a second. In Gloucester, Massachusetts, you don't think that there are seagulls here because
yes.
of the fishing industry?
No.
And guys, I have a hard time. I'll give you in there, but I have a hard time believing that the seagulls wouldn't have found their way here on the fish, following the fishing boats, because that's what they do. They follow
yes.
the fishing boats and the,
yeah,
the
but
discard.
They weren't breeding here. So if you go back and look at all the records from Audubon and stuff like that, you can tell when they have records of when they started actually breeding here.
Mm-hmm.
So. Hey, Joey, speaking of crows, have you ever been down to that public parking lot near Stones? And the trees
yes, I've Jamie Verga, my favorite bartender, well, one of my favorite bartenders in town, has showed me pictures of his car when he parked underneath that tree. And we know the tree you're talking about, at the back of that parking lot. And it looks like the car was black. It looked like it was painted white.
It's straight out of Alfred Hitchcock when you walk there at night, because you can hear them.
Yeah, yeah. They're getting that way in East Gloucester, up by where I live.
Yep.
They're getting that way.
Crow Village, you know.
Huh?
Up by Calder Street.
Yeah.
It was Crow Village.
Is that what they called it?
That's what it was.
How long ago?
Oh.
Long time ago?
1700s, 1800s. That was Crow Village.
Well, crows keep the hawks away, so I like them. So
yeah.
My chickens are safe.
Oh, well, it's all about your chickens, I guess.
It's all about your chickens. Speaking of chickens,
my
available at the Lobster Bake on August
5th.
That's funny. My Kate wants to murder all crows. They, like, you know,
they're
wake her up,
loud,
and she
yeah.
is a light sleeper, and she Smart. Wants to. Like, our neighbors, we have really sweet, nice neighbors. I love our neighbors.
She's
obsessively feeds birds and
not
just crows, everything,
yeah.
you know, all the
yeah.
thing there. So right out, literally out 20 feet from the window is this feeding station where it looks like Wild Kingdom.
Yeah.
And Kate is just like about to pull her hair up.
You cannot, if you put out much smaller seed and stuff like that you can still feed the birds and not attract the crows.
Well,
so.
You know what? I'm not the type of neighbor that like goes up and gets in one of my neighbors'
right.
grills
of
about
course.
Something because
yeah.
they're really nice people and I don't want to be that guy.
And hopefully they're not listening to the podcast.
No, I said that they're nice people and she has every right to feed her crows. I mean, I'm not saying anything different. You know, I would say, you know, it is what it is. We're not going out of our way to call the popo, like for a disturbance because of the crows,
no,
like some crazy people would.
The crows and the gulls are having an effect on other songbirds and shorebirds, though.
When it starts to affect the butterflies, that's when I got a problem. That's what Kim's thinking right now.
No.
She doesn't care about anything else, but when it fucks up the butterflies, it's going to be hell to pay.
The worst ever.
I got married
but
at them.
I do think that like the volunteers thing is so fun, and we have helped with crows and seagulls, and they have watches on Revere and stuff too. So I think
props.
If you are there at that moment, you actually can kind of help.
Big
you
props.
Can, right, you can chase after. I mean, well, all of us volunteers, we chase away the crows.
That's what I want to do on my day off.
I was trained by that little bit more.
That's what I want to do on my day off.
You should get a service dog to help you chase.
Yes.
Yeah.
That's the service my dog does. It's chase crows.
Give us a quick update with baby Charlotte.
Baby Charlotte's doing
so
beautiful.
Sweet. I love her.
She is really precious. She's a really good baby. Like, I remember... My firstborn was
not as calm and
no way. She was, you know, she slept about 4 to 6 hours in a 24-hour period,
And Baby Charlotte's the complete opposite.
Wow.
So she's really easy. She's
but doesn't that happen for the first 9 months, and then after that, they I think you get a little period where the baby isn't as crazy, right?
Not with Olivia.
Oh, really?
but
I think at the 9 month stage, they get more. I think your hormones, the women's hormones, kind of taper off, which give her the energy to keep it up and stuff like that.
Yeah. Thank you, Dr. Spock.
And then after that, your hormones go down, but then the craziness of the baby shoots up.
I don't know right now.
Maybe I had dreamt this. Maybe I'm talking straight out of my ass, but I think that's the one thing I might have retained from
it. I always felt like the babies, they understood when you got used to their schedules, and as soon as you got used to their schedules, they changed on you.
On purpose.
On purpose all the time.
Yes.
But she's beautiful. She's a very easy baby. We're just all having a lot of fun with her. Aww. So thank you for asking.
Sweet.
Yeah.
Sweet. The pictures are beautiful. Monarch sightings?
Monarchs. So many monarch sightings this summer. I'm very excited about that. Lots of caterpillars, lots of monarchs.
As opposed to last year, right?
Yeah, last year was the last 2 years actually have been pretty terrible. And I attribute it somewhat to the weather because there's vast quantities of milkweed this year blooming in the dunes and the meadows. And last year it was, pretty things were pretty dried out. We've had a very wet, cool spring and early summer. So I think that's attributing to the, but also it really has a lot to do with wind patterns, like wind.
Prevailing wind patterns.
Prevailing winds. And so whatever the wind patterns are this year, we are getting a lot of monarchs. So let's keep our fingers crossed that we might have a decent migration this year, which would be pretty exciting. We haven't had a good one since 2012 was the last really good monarch migration through our areas. I mean, it's all relatively bad compared to what it used to be.
Because of those damn GMOs.
No, because we're counting the monarchs now in the millions, where they used to be counted in the billions.
Oh, wow.
Right, so that's a really, it's a tremendous difference.
Well, we're talking about butterflies on a similar note. Moths. Can we do a public service announcement about these stupid gypsy moths? I've been killing them every stage of their life, and right now they're emerging from cocoons as moths. So you'll see the males, the ugly brown ones flying around, and the bigger white ones, the females can't fly, so they're on the trees. So squash them.
Squish them.
Because right below them you'll see a big egg sac that looks like a brown powdery thing. And if those suckers hatch and climb up in the trees, we're going to have another. It wasn't so bad out here, but West Gloucester, we got nailed.
When I lived on 128, you look off and it's like all the oaks are just.
Yeah.
When I lived in Hamilton, it was the same thing. And when you drive down the street, and I used to come in the morning. It was before the light, and they were attracted to your headlights, and literally it was like about Alfred Hitchcock.
I think you're talking about winter moths.
Oh, but that's what I was talking about.
Yeah, you're talking about winter moths. So winter moths are what's decimating the oak trees on one kind.
What about the vampire things that come down from the trees? Are those winter moths?
Those are the winter moth larvae.
The little green ones are the winter moths.
The little green
that's
larvae. That's
the big ugly ones are the gypsy moths.
The gypsy moths,
The winter moth caterpillars are eating all the Norway maples.
Right, they're eating the maples, they eat oaks, they eat everything in the rose family, which includes peach trees, apple trees, they also eat...
Rosa rugosa?
Yeah. No, they don't bother Rosa rugosa is... I'm talking about fruit-bearing trees that are in the rose family. No, they don't care about Rosa rugosa.
I love Rosa rugosa.
So bottom line, kill them all.
Yeah.
Matter them.
But I do want to... we do have to say something very important. So the kind of moths that you're talking about are moths that came into this country from Asia. Our native moths, which for every one butterfly that you see, there are 10 species of moths, and they do a tremendous amount of pollinating at night. So we don't want to just go randomly killing moths, because there's millions and billions of moths that are really good pollinators. It
comes down to the butterflies.
And do good
things. Look up the pictures so you know what you're killing. But you can't miss the gypsy moths right now.
If we had a wall, we could stop these illegal alien gypsy moths.
But it's funny because
further vetting of the moths.
The gypsy moths don't have the predators, because my chickens will eat the green winter moths, but nobody's touching any
stage
of the
gypsy
moths.
That's right.
Well, thank you for the eggs that you brought. They were delicious. Thanks.
I could have brought you some guinea hen eggs. I have a bunch of those, but
are you
sorry.
Prejudice calling that?
What
kind of thing is this?
Bring some
what kind of
really
horror?
Called guinea hens.
They really called guinea hens.
Oh, okay.
I
thought they were like the Italian hens.
What are you getting an Italian crime
wow.
over here?
Jesus. I'm offended.
And Joe just pulled out sort of the nature talk. For some reason, the magnetic things were lining up and all that stuff. There's a good chance we could see Northern Lights tonight.
Oh,
really?
Cool.
Yeah, they're supposed to be coming maybe as far south as Maryland, which is unusual. So maybe
for photographers, get out there.
Get out there, get to Halibut Point, some places that
okay.
get away from the
all
light pollution.
Yeah.
And
I'll have to get a hold of Paul Morrison. Usually
he
gets some shots.
He's right on that.
I want to give a shout out. I had a monstrous victory yesterday. Kim, you here when Joe Higgins was here, the fish printer?
Oh yeah.
Giotoco.
No, I wasn't here when he came.
You weren't here when he came when he did the podcast with us? I've been a huge fan. This guy's at... Joe actually exhibits at the... What's the co-op? That's art...
on Main Street?
Yes.
Local Colors.
Thank you. Joe exhibits there. Well, you know, he sells there. He's part of that co-op. And I've been a... What Giotaco is they use rice... He uses rice paper. You put special ink on fish, you press the fish onto the rice paper and you make
beautiful prints.
Yeah. And I've had my so our house is the theme is kind of a not a kitschy nautical theme, but more of a modern kind of nautical theme. And I have lusted after his tuna tail, blue rice paper, white tuna tail, framed in a repurposed that grade
aluminum
frame wood. No,
yeah,
no, like a weathered wood.
Reclaimed.
Thank you.
Okay.
Thank you. And as it turns out, he opened up a shop where very close to our old shop at Madfish Wharf, 77 Rocky Neck Ave, where EJ had the Good Morning Gloucester Con studio. He's a couple doors down.
Oh, that's a great
Joe's Fish Print Shanty
okay.
on Madfish Wharf, and he has awesome stuff in there.
Right, wow.
And I made a trade with him for one of my canvases.
Oh, wonderful.
So my dream of this beautiful print is the centerpiece of my living room in the new house.
Oh, that sounds beautiful.
And we made it. It worked out because we did a trade. Because
it
looks
awesome.
I mean, it's a monstrous victory. But besides, so I'm a huge fan of his to begin with. So people should know they can go down there and appreciate for the appreciation that I have. I imagine everybody has to have the same taste that I have.
Why not?
But I really do think it's worthwhile to go check out his stuff because he has a lot of stuff that's not framed, that's not as expensive, that
okay.
it still can be hung in your home. They're very classy, very beautiful. He has stuff on white paper, rice paper, blue thing there. And then he also has these high-quality tees. Really, I got a hat for Kate with a fish tail, his logo on it.
Okay.
He's carrying Enza Iacono's, the wine trap made out of the lobster trap holders.
Oh, well, I love
and,
those.
The shop is an awesome shop.
They make those little condiment holders, too.
Yep.
Ketchup and mustard. We have that. Yeah.
Yep. Has all that stuff.
Yep.
So on Twitter or on Instagram, it's @fishprinter. But his website is www.fished.com. You can check out his stuff.
Right.
He also has placemats that are reasonable of the same exact images.
Oh,
they're like $10 or $12 a piece. And they're worth, you could get these and frame them. They're that awesome.
What are they made out of, the placemats?
They're like a laminate. They're like
material?
A laminate.
Okay.
And they also have smaller framed things for less money, but also having that reclaimed wood.
That's
you
nice.
Have to go down and check out his stuff. It's awesome.
Nice.
So there's that. I want to go through... we'll get to the backyard growers in a second.
Oh, okay.
Feather and Wedge is now open. Feather and Wedge, and so these are some of the people that helped me pay for our hosting, so I give them shout out.
Yeah, and also they're amazing, Feather and Wedge.
Feather and Wedge is awesome.
Yeah.
They are now open for lunch every day
okay.
and brunch on Sundays.
Okay.
So they got that going for them. Tono, happy for up. My buddy Anthony Catarano has up a couple of my prints hanging in his place, but his food is amazing. He got Best Seafood Editor's Choice for the Bonds Award.
I saw that. That
I know that
exciting.
Seaport Grill got a bunch of awards.
Yeah. Okay, great.
The wow. Happy Belly. Oh, Kate and I went to Happy Belly twice this weekend.
Hmm.
We went for dinner Friday night.
Right.
I got the salmon poke. Is it poke or pokey? A poke.
I don't know.
Do you know what it is?
I don't know.
A gras, usually poke could be made with tuna or some other fish.
I think I've heard it pronounced poke.
I think it's poke as well.
I think it is.
We had great meals, but the highlight for us were these drinks.
Yeah, the drinks.
A Magenta Agenda is what Kate got.
Ooh, that sounds
fantastic. Then there was this.
What's in that? What's in it? Like,
I don't even.
Was it magenta?
It was, they house-made vodka. Infused vodka with some kind of magenta stuff and the pretty parasol. I mean, it was very fun.
People
very fun.
Are so into cocktails.
And I got a midnight creamsicle. It's like a coffee-based alcohol beverage. Fantastic!
Wow,
really good. I'm digging this place. They also carry our friends Pigeon Cove Ferments. Krauts in their case.
Okay.
And they have prepared foods
and
as well.
And they have prepared foods with the Pigeon Cove.
I thought originally that the whole premise was prepared foods to go.
Yeah.
It's like they have a coffee shop, they make smoothies.
You sat down and had dinner.
We sat down, but you order at the... It's a little confusing for people first time, but it's, listen, you get through it, right?
Right?
You go up to the counter, you order, they give you a number, they bring out the food to you.
Okay.
And you don't have to tip. So it's...
So it's
they don't want you to tip. I mean,
right.
there's no tip thing.
Right, so then it can be less expensive in some ways, right?
It's very reasonable, and the food is fantastic. The coffee is great coffee. Good place to go.
Right.
Yeah, and so we liked it so much, we went back for breakfast the next morning.
Oh, wow.
And I got a great breakfast sandwich.
Well,
so check that out.
Can I tell you some great place that I went to, tried out yesterday was Sandpiper.
Sandpiper Bakery. My sister's a huge fan.
Yeah, I had... like palmiers that you would have in Boston or New York. I mean, the quality of the baking is really outstanding.
Yeah, it's top notch. Felicia raves about it, and she can be very critical of bakers, especially.
Yeah.
And she was raving about it. And every time if I'm out and about, and I'm like, I'll usually call her and say, do you want anything? She goes, can you stop by Sandpiper and get me XYZ?
Right.
So there's that. Beauport is offering beach yoga by Cape Ann Power Yoga, our friends at Cape Ann Power Yoga. Fia Women's Center, remember that woman was in here? Fia
yes.
Women's Center?
Yeah.
They're having a class, Learn to Make Origami Flowers, July 28th. And our friend Dreamtown Wellness. Karen Pischke. Gloucester T-shirts are now available at the Gloucester Charter Connection, which is next to, across from Mile Marker, where the good place, Causeway Restaurant is, right next to there.
Oh, okay.
All right, so we got all that stuff. You said oyster spats are now at Maritime Heritage. You want
to
talk about that?
Well, all I know, and I would like to learn more about it, because the oysters come from this oyster project, which is based out of my hometown in Dennis on Cape Cod, which when I was growing up, there was this huge, fabulous place called Cultured Clam, where this was 30 years ago, where they grew and cultured clams, but you could also go there as a retail customer and get buckets and buckets of clams for really cheap. So we used to have them all the time for fun when I was a kid. But so they are providing... They've provided 60,000 little teeny, teeny, tiny clams, like as big as a little pepper flake.
Yeah.
60,000. And they're going to be at Maritime Heritage for the summer, because they have to grow bigger to be able to get away from green crabs.
Uh-huh.
So green crabs are one of the small oysters' main predators. So, and people can go and view them on certain days. I believe it's Monday, Wednesday, and Friday, and you can go and see these 60,000 little tiny oysters there at Maritime Heritage.
Maritime Heritage. Is there any talk about who's going to be the new successor to Tom Belf?
I haven't heard anything.
Tell me, Kim, Backyard Growers Garden Tour. Who went on that? Anybody?
I did. And, it was fabulous. Like, unfortunately, like, I had the baby and everything, and Liv, like, it started at 10 and went to 2. So I ran into Backyard Growers at 1:30 and bought my ticket.
Oh, wow.
So I only got to go to the ones right in Laura's neighborhood. So I went to Laura's garden. Well, first I saw Amy Clayton's garden. So Amy Clayton lives right in Amy. Does everybody know who Amy Clayton is?
Fiesta Hat Lady.
Fiesta Hat Lady. She does amazing hats. So Amy is a neighbor of Laura's, and Amy was Laura's first backyard grower customer. So Amy has a beautiful garden, tons of sunflowers and squash and pumpkins. So she toured me around her garden. So I'm going to do a little combined pose.
Oh, cool.
It. Yeah. And then Laura's garden is extraordinary. So she has a house, you know, kind of like ours is, like an 1850s house in the middle of a close neighborhood. You know, the houses are fairly close together.
What do you call those kind of, Dougie, would you know what that style of architecture where the house is like this and then it's like the 40, almost like a 40, the roof
it's
is?
Like
was,
yeah, it's an
A-frame, right?
An A-frame, basically.
Or
it's a kind of a cheap, inexpensive Queen Anne.
Centennial Avenue.
Yeah.
All
yeah,
the ones on
yeah,
Centennial Avenue that way.
Yeah.
It's just a period.
Kind of
a Queen Anne.
Yeah. Well, they're actually built before, so they're kind of colloquial, so they have a lot of Greek Revival details in them, but they're a little bit, these houses are pre-Queen Anne, actually. They're more Victorian and with some Greek Revival. So anyways, so the houses are very close together, and like ours, the sidewalk, and then there's like a little bit of a hill, and then the house sits on a little uprise. So every square inch of her property, like imagine our property, is terraced beds with vegetables. There's not any, you know, there's
no grass,
no lawn, no superfluous flowers. There's flowers, but they're not superfluous. And so every, even like a little corner, has a rounded edged little wedge shaped bed to go in there. So every square inch has terraced beds on it or a chicken house, some way to grow produce. It was extraordinary. And there was just endless amounts of vegetables, and it was just fascinating and interesting and wonderful to see how you
Isn't Laura's at the one of the, up the top of the hill there?
She's on Beacon Street, not too far up the top of the hill though. Yeah, she's not. And then
she supplies stuff for Duckworth Bistro, right?
For Duckworth, for Shorten, Maine, and for the market. She supplies their greens, and they grow them all on this urban, very tiny lot.
That's
like
amazing.
The lot is probably about 3,500 square feet, I would say.
The
whole house lot
is
about 3,500 square feet. I wouldn't say it's much more than that. And they have a beautiful arbor in the back, and so you just everything you could possibly imagine they've squeezed into this garden, into this little tiny space.
Awesome. Love it. Anybody has had any interesting dining experiences that they want to share? Any places that they've gone for great meals this past week?
Franklin.
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 Short Maine. Apparently, I had Laura's produce, and I didn't know.
I always have a good meal down at the top side. I mean,
you know. They're good people. Hey, I want to thank you for bringing my breakfast sandwich from
George's.
Yep. I was trying to get that out of you. I had to pull that out of you.
I had my biscuits and gravy this morning, which was great. You know, presented with my little birthday candle on it, the whole nine yards.
Aww.
So it was nice.
I want to hear where Doug Parsons' go-to breakfast joint is in Gloucester, Massachusetts.
For the last 20 years? Lee's.
Lee's, that's your joint.
Yeah. One reason is it's open early enough.
Yeah,
right.
And two, you know, Eastern Avenue, we're right back to work.
Yeah. The loop.
No need to go any farther.
Don't have to go any further.
The loop. Right there. All
you
right.
Get too close to that bridge and Doug starts shaking.
About 3 miles a day.
The wheels come off.
Round trip.
Yeah, but plus I don't know, you may be a good cook too. But
no, I can't
cook
with
him.
You
have a very good cook.
He doesn't cook.
I don't cook. And unfortunately, what she likes to cook, I don't like to
like
eat.
Oh, come on.
That's why I worked as a private cook all
It was good enough for
Walker Hancock.
Right.
Yeah. What do you mean? She cooked for Walker Hancock?
She cooked,
yeah.
How did I not know that?
Didn't ask.
Can we talk about that? What was that all about? How did you get that job, and what was the deal?
Worked for a man on Eastern Point. His name was
Roy Garrett Watson.
Roy Garrett Watson. He lived in the little, the third house inn. It used to be called Timala. And I worked there from the time I was 15 until 1985.
Five.
And basically, he was ill. I had started with Walker when his wife died that winter. And I loved working for Walker. When Mr. Watson came back from Texas, I worked for Mr. Watson during the day and for Walker Hancock at night.
Oh, wow.
And then Mr. Watson died, so I stayed with Mr. Hancock. So I was there 18, 20 years.
Wow.
And he was
a
sweetheart.
Must have seen a lot of really interesting people coming through those doors.
Almost had to cook lunch for Julia Child.
Oh, ooh, my gosh.
She came to visit, but luckily she brought a picnic. Talk about, you know.
Tell about Warren Burger.
Right.
Oh, yeah, Chief Justice Warren Burger used to come.
Wow.
Yeah. I was very intimidated until he showed up one day and his pants were split. That's a bad idea.
That's funny.
She also
he was so informed, too.
She also used to do events, evening pie. What do you want to call it? For Mr. Baba, who at the time in the 67 Days War in Israel was ambassador to Israel for the U.S.
Mm-hmm.
And what was about 1975? Golda Meir came, and I said, well, you're going to take Amy down, right? No, I can't take her down. If I introduce her to Golda Meir, she shies away, I'll be embarrassed. So my daughter never got to see her.
I'll never live that down.
Nope.
I guess not, because it's many years later. And it's
still a family topic of discussion. Right?
Yeah. But Golda didn't eat. She just smoked cigarettes and drank tea.
Tea. Not vodka tonics.
No, tea.
Who was in the tea?
But
she does.
It was a specialty.
Yeah. She must have smoked 40 unfiltered Chesterfields while she sat there.
Boom, boy.
She sounded
I wonder if she died.
She sounded like she...
Yeah, she died of lung cancer. I wonder why.
You know, Joey, anytime we do one of those special Saturdays, the Maritime Saturdays down, Gloria actually puts on a really good spread.
Who did the chowder that time? Was that your chowder? I was okay.
So the
art thing.
Right.
When are you gonna have the chowder for the art thing?
Apparently.
I wasn't planning
it.
Well, a lot of times the artists bring their own goodies to go with it.
Sometimes I'll put. We don't charge for it. I mean, it's just for our friends because we don't charge.
I'll tell you what. It was good chowder.
Yeah.
It was delicious. Was there a little bacon in it? Was it?
No,
there was
no
bacon, was there?
No, I used salt pork.
Salt pork, that's what it was. Oh, my God.
That's how Julia Child makes it, too. She starts with salt pork.
There you go.
And the Phillips, hey, the first Saturday of every month, we're down there doing that.
Yeah.
Open house
in
down
the summertime.
At Rivers in the summertime. So.
What is that?
That's the Saturdays that Bill was talking about.
The Maritime Saturdays.
Mug up?
Yeah, basically.
It's just in August. It's going to be the lobster bake combined.
Ah, there you go. And what's the date on the art show?
September 16th and 17th.
Oh, okay. So it's a little ways away. We're concentrating on the lobster bake.
Yes.
Yeah.
August 5th.
Come back and do a promo for the art show if you want to.
Donna's Adazzoni and one of our board members, Jean Ellett, are the ones that really got it going last year.
Yeah.
So I'll get them to come in too.
Yeah.
Awesome. All right, GloucesterCast 233 is in the books. Thank you, guys.